Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter or X. What's up, Ed? Who gets your shovel this morning?
Puerto Rican rapper Bad Bunny. I like Bad Bunny. I like Puerto Rico. My best friend who just passed was Puerto Rican. I go down there twice a year
like
with him.
Puerto Rican women?
Decades. I grew up with Puerto Rican women. My first two girlfriends in high school, both named Rodriguez. It's kind of odd, but
that's
yes.
A weird first name.
I knew you were going to say that. So I just did. Anyway, Bad Bunny is now, he's skipping his U.S. tour because he has fear of ICE staking out his concerts. First of all, you're Puerto Rican. You're a United States citizen.
Exactly.
So that's not an issue. They're not scooping you up because you're an American. Do you really think they're going to do? You're going to have 30,000 Latino fans coming in. They're going to card everybody. I don't really see it happening. I think he's making a statement, and he's going to cost himself a lot of money. I don't know why he's doing this. I just don't get it, dude. You're an American. This doesn't affect you. It's like this isn't going to happen. It just, if that's your statement, fine. But you're doing it at great cost to yourself.
Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, people that think they can stop anywhere they want. If you're driving a car, I don't care if it's busy or not, you don't get to stop in the lane that you're in, especially when it's a one-lane road, and start looking at your phone to decide where my GPS...
I swear to you.
It happened to me twice yesterday.
Just had this happen to me.
It's the same thing, too, with the people at the grocery store. Oh, she's just running in real quick. Okay, then move your car somewhere else.
Yeah, wait
and
for
then
it to come
back.
Out. Yes.
You don't know how long the line's in there. She could be running in real quick and be in a long-ass line, or
real quick.
Yeah, it's like... People don't consider other people when they're doing whatever it is, and I'm so tired of people that... getting on the road and you're like, oh my God, is my exit coming up? So now you're going like 20 miles an hour on 695 trying to see which way you're supposed. No, that's a you problem. You pass your exit, your ass goes up and turns around and comes back. I get so tired of just ignorant people, and there's so many of you out there. It's not me. I'm not ignorant, of course. Not in my eyes.
My shovel goes to Cleveland Browns fans. And the organization, if you think this way. So all of this butthurtness about the Ravens celebrating their 30th anniversary on Sunday. Do you know when this began, guys? I found this out officially yesterday. The Ravens planned this last winter. The Ravens sent out invitations to people to come back for this week in March before the schedule came out. It had nothing to do with pettiness. It had nothing to do with targeting the Browns. The Ravens said you don't plan things after the schedule comes out because it takes too much time and logistics to do this. There's proof that they did this in March. They had no idea this would be the Cleveland Browns coming into town. However, when they found out it was the Cleveland Browns, they're making no effort to try to move it. Why would you?
What because do they owe them? They don't owe them anything.
And on top of that, you got all these people who made plans, Jeremy, to come back to Baltimore in this week. So you want to tell them, hey, guys, I know you moved some things around in your schedule, but Cleveland's coming in. We don't want to make them look bad. No, you don't do that. You're not going to do it on a Monday night because now aren't they also celebrating the Baltimore Colts as well? They're not going to do that on Monday Night Football. Have those guys out there then. They're doing it because this is what the original plan was set forth last winter. They finalized it in March. The schedule wasn't out yet. It's not about you, Browns. It's not now, and it never has been. It's not. I'm sorry. You're just not that important. Now, I love the pettiness, and I was on a show yesterday in Cleveland, and they were really butthurt about it. And I said to them, I said, guys, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. It might be petty, but I'm happy about it. And I didn't know the information that I'm telling you now at the time. And they're going to hand out something to mark the 30th anniversary at the stadium. And I made a call. I said, look, I'm not going to be there, but can I get two? I'm sending them to those two hosts. It was so petty, I'm sending them the 30-year anniversary of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah,
chalk that up.
But again, like, why would people think that the Ravens owe the Browns anything? Like, if you set this up and you did it, you want to go, oh, is it a little inconsiderate now that we found out it's the Browns? How, Sway? Like, what? I know you don't like it because this is your former team.
I was disappointed.
Yeah.
I thought the Ravens were targeting him. Now I know it just so happened to be them. I was disappointed. I mean,
accidental pettiness.
Hey, that might be the best form of pettiness. Can I steal that?
Yeah.
So if I do something to somebody that didn't mean it, I can say, look, man, just chalk that up. It's accidental pettiness. Keep it moving. Let's go to Baltimore and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
All right, man. I was actually, my show, I've been waiting all morning for this, is the way the Orioles handled the finding out that Elias has slid into the presidency, the club. And, all the while, people thinking Elias's job might be on the line, as general manager, and he done quietly slid into, president. It's just, why the lack of transparency? Just the sleazy way that it happened.
Sleazy? What's sleazy about giving a guy a raise and they didn't tell anybody, or promoting him, and they didn't tell you? That's sleazy? They're telling you now.
Because usually clubs, when they make front office changes or whatever, they let you know. But I'm saying,
they did.
Like,
that's how we know.
General manager, and he already done slid into president, so he was never under fire.
Yeah, but just because the fans thought he was under fire doesn't mean he was.
And that's what, Jeremy, that's what this is about.
Yeah.
This is the entitlement of fans right here. This is what you're hearing. You're hearing, well, we thought one thing, and now we were wrong because you had other information. That's what this is all about. You said it best. So you're calling them sleazy because the man won 192 games in 2 years and they promoted him. That's sleazy. Sleazy was when Dan Duquette wanted to leave for a promotion in Toronto and they wouldn't let him interview. That's sleazy.
Yeah.
But taking an organization, actually coming through a rebuild and promoting a man, now that's, you can't win. You can't win, man. The man got promoted after winning 192 games in 2 years. Oh, you're sleazy. You ain't sleazy. Just didn't tell you. That's why you're upset.
Why am I the last to know?
I'm so glad you said it. Anyway, we're going to talk about that at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, Todd Monken took responsibility for the offensive play calling in the fourth quarter. We'll examine that up next on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:16 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. We've thrown the stats out about how much the Ravens have given up big leads during the John Harbaugh regime. Well, the latest was with a new offensive coordinator, the most recent offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. And Todd Monken was asked how much onus was being put on him to continue to add pressure to the opposing defenses.
I mean, it's goes both ways, right? I have to be able to trust Lamar. With the ball in his hands, which we did. I mean, on the second to last drive, we ran a QB driven, and he got 16 yards, and we did it again. I mean, the fly sweep to Zay is a QB driven. Obviously, we can be more aggressive. And when things don't work, it's not right. You're wrong. If we had gone in the game and scored 12 points, then the game plan wouldn't have been good enough. I mean, that's the world we live in is when it works, it's the right way. When it doesn't, then you got to figure out how to fix it. That's what we're paid to do is fix it, right? So you look at it and say, okay, mentality-wise, where we're at, because every situation is different, right? A field goal to beat you, a field goal to tie, a touchdown needed, all of those things. And you look at it and say, okay, how can we be better next time? In all aspects of the game plan, but especially then, because that was a game within the game. No matter what you've done up until that point, you need to find a way at that moment to not put the defense back on the field. And we didn't do that.
They didn't do that. So he took some responsibility there, Ed.
Yeah.
And he took all the responsibility.
He did.
He didn't say, well, you know, they couldn't get off the field on third and long.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that. He took all the responsibility. I still believe somewhere, and he's never going to say it because his career is suicide, that there's a mention of, okay, let's dial it back a little bit here. Let's be a little more conservative. And the only reason why I believe that is because we've had the same stories about giving up big lead through multiple offensive and defensive coordinators.
Yeah, he did the right thing there. Basically saying they didn't do the right thing.
He's saying the right thing about that.
Without right throwing everybody under the bus.
I love what he said there because you're kind of taking ownership over it and you're trying to put out fires, but also realizing that there are expectations. So fans are going to be upset when things don't work out. And the one thing that I almost thought he was alluding to initially is it doesn't matter if it's a great play design or not. We live in a results-driven world. And again, I go back to when they were playing the Steelers and they went for that two-point conversion. It's one of the best play designs I think I've ever seen. They just didn't execute it and get the ball over T.J. Watt's head, and he got a piece of it, and that was that. You know, you could have the best two-point conversion play designed and have your tight end drop it going in the end zone. Like, things happen. It doesn't necessarily make that a bad play.
Right.
You know, but that's how fans are going to perceive it. Why would you run that? And that's when we talk about Monday morning quarterback. The big joke about that was the guy wakes up and looks at the scoreboard and goes, or the box score and goes, see, they sucked yesterday. They didn't do this. Right. Okay, did you watch the game?
He made a comment, Jeremy. What does it mean in your opinion by quarterback-driven play? Is that a play that Lamar's calling pre-snap, or is it a play, is he talking about maybe a run-pass option that Lamar decides after the snap?
Was he talking about a fourth down play there, or was he...
That makes you wonder, too.
Yeah, because like when you say quarter... Because like if we're all looking at it at fourth and three, I think that was the big question of whether you go for it or not. Mm-hmm. And I understand people saying, no, you can't. You're on your own side of the... You haven't stopped a damn nosebleed the entire time. They were just moving down like a warm knife through butter. And at that point, it's like, okay, this is where you got to get ultra aggressive and try to make the stop. And if Lamar wasn't ready there, maybe that's something. But also, like, why didn't we see more of the RPO stuff, even without the threat of the pass, between Lamar and Derrick Henry towards the end there to try to pick up some of these yards? We've talked about how that's one of the biggest advantages or cheat codes in sports is that mesh point when that ball's in his belly and figuring it out. But it seems like they ran him on first and said, hey, let's go to Zay on second. I just thought that was a terrible play.
Maybe that was the quarterback-driven play. Joe, can you play that sound bite again?
I mean, it's goes both ways, right? I have to be able to trust Lamar, you know, with the ball in his hands, which we did. I mean, you know, on the second to last drive, we ran a QB-driven, and he got 16 yards, and we did it again. I mean, the fly sweep to Zay is a QB-driven. Obviously, we can be more aggressive. And when things don't work,
so that's it.
It's not right.
Yeah.
That play.
So the fly sweep to Zay, was QB driven.
By the way, I don't want this. I need this. Mm-hmm. I need him to tell the joke as Funkhauser.
I know.
On Curb Your Enthusiasm. My darling sweet.
Yeah.
I can't finish this joke on the air. One of the best jokes, but he sounds just like Super Dave Osborne. He sounds exactly like him.
You know what I really like about Monkey, though? When he talks, you get a lot of information without him spilling everything.
You know what it reminds me of? And I know a lot of people disagree with me on this, is Mike Elias.
Mike Elias! Yes, it does!
He tells you things without telling you things.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. But, if you promote him, was that sleazy?
Yeah, it's sleazy, man. Come on, we can't talk.
Assistant head coach?
You know what? It's sleazy to bring up in a Ravens segment here.
That's funny. How is it sleazy? That doesn't even fit.
I don't. Back to the drawing board.
We'll look right into the camera here.
Hey.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So what we also found out in that sound bite by Monken is Lamar Jackson has a lot more control of the offense, Ed.
Yeah, well, it's pretty evident. You know, look how far it's come where it's quarterback driven, right? Control the offense. When Greg Roman was here, they would break the huddle with like 8 seconds to go, so Lamar couldn't change squat.
8 seconds,
5 seconds, whatever. I think by design, so he couldn't change anything. So yeah, it's much different now.
Oh, 100%. I'm with you 100% on that. You know, the less time I give you, that's why I don't trust you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Monkey comes in, he trusts his quarterback. You got to trust your quarterback, man. I mean, that's just
my quarterback.
That's exactly. I mean, it's the most important position on the field.
Next to wide receiver.
Of any sport. Any sport. Mm. Wide receiver. Man,
what about a goalie in hockey, Ed?
What about it?
Isn't that more important than a quarterback? Because if you don't have a goalie back there, they score at will.
But they can pull the goalie when they're behind.
That's what I mean. If you don't put a goalie there, then the goal's open the entire time.
You can't pull your quarterback and play with none.
Yeah, you can. You can put a running back there. We're running the wild.
I think goalie is the second most important in sports because you can't win without one. But quarterback is number one.
You try to bring the hockey guy in there to disprove my theory.
No, I didn't. I didn't ask you a question. I asked Ed.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
If I wanted the hockey guy, I'd come to Rob.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
Well played, Jerry. Yeah. Well played. Orioles broke some sleazy news yesterday. We'll talk about that at 8 o'clock.
Sleaze balls.
How dare you promote a man after winning 192
games? Is Mike calling back in yet again under another name?
But on the other side, more bulletin board material from the Browns. Some of these guys just can't shut up. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Whoop dee doo. No, they either got to run the ball or pass the ball. So, you know, that's their two best players on offense. Not hard.
Yeah, I mean, guys say whatever they're going to say. I really don't care. That's the thing with, like, bullets and board material that I never understood. It's, like, was I not going to play hard before he said that? So it's like, I'm going to play the same way I was going to play. Like, if you need bullets and board material to go play how you need to play, then that's a problem on you. So, I mean, I guess he's trying to get himself right for the game, and, you know, we're doing the same thing. So, you know, we'll see on Sunday, but. But yeah, we're excited to go out there.
Hey, Jeremy.
Yes.
You familiar with the gift from Friday with Smokey on the porch? And he kind of just waves you on and says, go ahead.
Yeah, he does the little the backhand like, yeah.
That's what Kyle Hamilton just did.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Well, he said what everybody wants you to say. Like, again, you want to get fired up because it's bulletin board material and maybe you're hoping it gives you some sort of extra edge. But honestly, why would you need it? You know how important every game is. So maybe you're in the wrong business if you need somebody that needs to pick you up a little bit.
And Kyle Hamilton said, we're 0-1. I don't care who they are, what they say. We're going to go out there and play this game so we can be 1-1. 0-1.
Yeah.
Do you honestly? I mean, I remember, this is a true story. I played for this team down in South Carolina. Visiting team came in. We ready. Jump it all up and down. Looked like absolute fools. Before they knew it, they were down 3 touchdowns. Because they came in, this is not a cheering competition. It's not a debate. It's a football game. All of that bumping your gums, get those folks in Cleveland pumped up all you want. Because they know, you think the players don't know that it's going to be a 30-year anniversary celebration on the field? All the talk is in Cleveland, so they're trying to get the Cleveland fan base behind them. I got news for you, Grant Delpit. The Uber driver and a grocer in Cleveland aren't going to be on that field with you. They may get you gassed up, but when you kick it off, you're out there with 10 others. That's it.
You know, like, I agree with what Kyle Hamilton said, but if I'm somebody like Derrick Henry, I'm still fired up for this game. But if I see you in the open field,
oh yeah, it's different.
I'm probably not going to try to make you miss. I'm probably going to try to embarrass you.
See, that's, I mean, dude, you're talking about a Hall of Famer. Are you serious? There's evidence, Ed, that he's not to be played with. There's evidence of this. I mean, remember they used to have the thunder and lightning in New York with the Giants?
Yeah.
One running back was the thunder, the other one was the lightning. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry is thunder and lightning.
He is. He really is.
It reminds me of people were trying, you know, like Detroit had what they called Sonic and Knuckles with Gibbs and Williams.
Yeah.
And then somebody said after week one, they should change their names to Ass and Cheeks.
But Derrick Henry is Sonic and Knuckles, yeah, man. He's all of that. Dude, just why are you talking? Just play football. You know what I mean? Derrick Henry's Hall of Fame running back. You know, he's a tough guy. I mean, in his career, we're just going to go out there and do what we got to do. He's been stopped before. We hope to stop him again. Hey, why you got to go ahead and pull on Superman's cape? That's just not cool.
Spit into the wind.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Sometimes I pee in the wind. It doesn't work.
Pull a cape of the old Ranger.
That's, I mean, I don't understand the strategy behind the Cleveland Browns right now. You got a wide receiver in Jerry Jeudy who has not been productive, bumping his gums. You got Grant Delpit talking about a man who has still got it. Obviously still have it. If you don't believe, if you think this is the year that he loses it, ask Buffalo. One day Derrick Henry's going to lose it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Sunday. This past week one, we know he didn't lose it yet.
I got news for you, Rob. If you were to bet on someone and say they would never lose it, the Derrick Henry guy would be the guy that I would bet on to say that that happens, even though I know it happens. It's just, he's that, he's taken such good care of his body. And I also think the fact that he split time early on and they didn't just wear him out, mm-hmm. like, hey, here's 400 carries for you. And you think about the guys in college now, like Ray Rice, when he was drafted, go look at how many carries he had in his last year at Rutgers. It's like, what in the hell? But you're right. These running backs, when they hit the wall, they hit the wall hard. And you're like, man, I remember when Sean Alexander broke the touchdown record and 2 years later, nobody wanted him on their team.
Yeah. Hey, Ed, I'm not predicting it, mm-hmm. but if you ask me right now, have one running back who at age 35 can still have at least 800 yards rushing and be productive, I would bet you Derrick Henry. I'm not predicting it. I'm not saying, I'm telling you he's going to do it, but he's the only running back in the National Football League right now that I would bet on it at 35 could still have 800 yards rushing.
Yeah, because he didn't, like I said, he split time. In Alabama, he only had a ton of carries his senior year. It was last year there, whatever, in 2015. He had 395 carries then. Before that, it was 35 and 172.
Do you know that he still hasn't surpassed his high school numbers over 4 years throughout his entire NFL career?
Really?
And again, we say this all the time. If you haven't seen his high school numbers, I mean, it makes Wilt Chamberlain look like a child for the numbers that he put up. I mean, it's
imagine him.
Didn't he have 60-some touchdowns in 1 year or something? Like, it's like you look at it and go, how is that even possible? And those poor kids, what hospital are they in?
Right. Now, Grant Delpit is the one who blindsided Derrick Henry last year when Jameis Winston beat him. And, Joe, you said Cleveland Browns just reposted that?
They did that yesterday. Okay. And then a few plays after that, Derrick Henry put Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in the hospital.
Yes.
He's not playing this year. He got hurt last October.
Call to Amber Lamps.
So let me ask you this, Ed. So you mean to tell me that you don't think he put that man out because he was blindsided and embarrassed and no one talked? He put a man in the hospital because he was embarrassed for being blindsided.
But
now you're talking trash and rehashing it. It might be a MASH unit next week for the Browns.
You know what I love about this is that, and with all due respect, because I know both guys on each side of the ball are trying to do their thing, but like, your job is to tackle the guy. So like, he's not out there. His job is to avoid everything, and then you hit him, and it's like you're going to post that and go, oh, and then here's him putting somebody in the hospital. It's like, come on, man. And like, I remember when Derrick Henry was on the Titans and we would get geeked up when somebody on the Ravens would hit him and drive him back. It's not like it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen enough to sit here and bump your gums about it.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Just let that go, man. Let that go.
Don't rattle that cage.
No, sir. No one's talking about Lamar, though. That hadn't happened yet.
Mm-mm. Well, who was it? Was it Matt Milano and the Bills, or somebody was talking about it a while back about like, yeah, we're not worried about it. And then he caught the in and out and he was going that way and Lamar was going the other way. Whip. Oops. What happened there, buddy? Yeah. Cause like the more and more these guys chirp and give you that bulletin board fodder, even though Kyle Hamilton says you don't need it, it does fire up the fan base. And I think that's who it helps out more. It gets you like, we talk about night games and when guys have been drinking all day and waiting for those games and how loud the crowd is and how crazy things can get. I think the same thing happens here with teams that come out and run their mouth. I think the fans get fired up more than the players.
Ravens are saying all the right things, Ed. And what's going to happen is the first slobber knocker, the first stiff arm, the first thing that big play for the Ravens, the first thing that happens, like Jeremy said, this crowd is going to erupt. All because it's all bottled inside because the Ravens aren't feeding into it. I think all that emotion comes out when that first play happens.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to do something because I think it's going to be exactly what you said, like a slobber knocker, just a real physical game. The Ravens, they have to be pissed about last week's loss. At home now, you know, they're having the celebration, all that stuff, but I think you'll see a really motivated team really try to put a hurting on this Cleveland team.
Mike Preston joins us at 8:30, but on the other side, these are the things I love about the NFL season. Do your over-unders and do your week two picks. Up next on the...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for our week two picks, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I'm broadcasting live from Rogers Center in Toronto. Jeremy and Ed holding it down in Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan Studios. Guys, I alluded this earlier to Lee. This game scares me, but because they're home, I'm going Bengals over the Jaguars. What you got there, Ed?
I'm going Jaguars over the Bengals. I think they're a better team. I think the Bengals' defense is terrible.
You might not be wrong there, Ed. Honestly, this is the only reason why I'm going with them because they're home. Jeremy.
I think Ed's in a tie. I took Cincinnati here. This is a game where I think we're going to see a ton of points. And with this point spread, it makes me want to take Jacksonville, especially it's over a hook. But I think Cincinnati wins at home.
Jeremy, Giants at Cowboys.
I'm taking the Cowboys. I mean, the Giants looked dreadful last week until they get rid of Russell Wilson and punt that sumbitch into the sun. He can't play. He stinks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Cowboys.
I'm going with Cowboys, too, for all of those reasons. I don't really believe in the Cowboys, but I have zero confidence in Mr. Wilson and the Giants. Ed.
I'm going the same way. I'm going Cowboys as well. I think Dart is going to be the quarterback soon, and I think they'll be much better off.
Will the Lions bounce back at home this week against the Bears, Ed?
100%. I believe they come back. I think they are going to take a step back from last year, losing both coordinators and their center retired and things like that. But I think they come out and beat the Bears.
If you think this game is going to be a blowout, you're disappointed. If you think the Lions blow them out, you're only half wrong. I think the Lions win against the Bears, but I think it's going to be a close game, Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm taking Dallas. I think they bounce back at home. Home opener.
Lions, you mean?
What did I say, Dallas?
You said Dallas, yeah.
Yeah, Detroit. They both begin with a D. Just figure it out.
They both have, like, silver.
Figure it out. Yeah, it's fine.
Well, we know you like D.
Oh.
Roar. I'm taking the Lions.
Rams at Titans, Jeremy.
Look, I think this game is way more intriguing than people want to give it credit for. I am dying to pick the Titans here. I'm taking the Rams. I think they figure out a way to win this game. The Titans played way better than you think last week, and the Rams played way worse than you think.
You don't have to convince me, Jeremy Kahn, because I'm going to push you over. I'm taking the Titans in this football game. I think they win and introduce themselves with some authority against the Rams. Just, Ed, your pick.
I'm going Rams. I think the Rams are actually a good team. I have no faith in the Titans. I think the Rams win on the road.
Patriots versus Dolphins, Ed.
Patriots, Dolphins, I'm going Patriots. I think the Dolphins are a dumpster fire right now. I don't think New England's everything that people are putting them up to be. They lost to the Raiders, you know, last week. But I'm going to go with the Patriots on the road.
There's so much infighting going on in Miami right now. I think they implode if they haven't all imploded already. I'll echo your sentiments. It has nothing to do with my belief in the Patriots. I just don't have any belief at all in the Dolphins. I'm going Patriots.
I was telling Ed this morning, I talked to a friend that's in the know saying there's just so many wholesale problems with this Dolphins team. Yeah. Behind the scenes, it started in training camp, and like none of these dogs are hunting. I even told him that there was a stat out at Tua that he has the highest percentage of throws to his first read over the past 3 years, and it's by a whopping margin. You take away his first read, we see what he can do. I think the Patriots went on the road.
We had the same conversation about the Dolphins yesterday before the game, before the show. It's bad, worse than people think. Mm. 49ers at Saints, Jeremy.
I'm taking the 49ers, even though quarterback situation is questionable at best there.
Kittle's out.
Yeah, so you got Kittle out. You've got Purdy out. But Christian McCaffrey's still there, so I'm going to go with San Francisco having the best player on the field.
Again, it has nothing to do with what I think about the one team that's going to win. It's just I have no faith in the team that I think is going to lose. I'm going 49ers. Ed.
I'm going 49ers as well, same reasons. I just think a couple of significant injuries, but I think the Saints could be the worst team in the league. I think the Dolphins maybe right now, but I'm going to go with the Saints for this moment.
I think the Saints are we can't win and you can't make us. Yeah. I do. Bills at Jets, Ed.
I'm going with an upset here. I'm hoping the Bills have a bit of a hangover after that huge win over the Ravens. The Jets should have won the game against Pittsburgh, and I think it's, you know, division rivalry at home is a little different. I think the Jets surprised the Bills in a squeaker.
I think you were with the right word, hope, bad strategy, Bills. They win this game.
So I kind of agree with Ed here, but I'm not ballsy enough to take the Jets in this spot. I think the Bills find a way to win. But this is that prototypical spot that you circle. Emotional comeback win, yep. Going on the road to facing a divisional opponent that just had an emotional loss and they shouldn't have lost the game. And it's so funny how perception is. Like, everybody's like, the Steelers are going to kick the Seahawks' ass. Did you see what they did to the Jets? Yeah, I saw them give up 30-some points.
Yeah.
Seattle stinks. Yeah, but did you see Seattle's defense and what they did? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's all about matchups and timing. I think the Jets keep this close and make it interesting, but I think the Bills are good enough to find a way to win.
Well, since you brought it up, what are your thoughts on the Seattle Steelers game?
Give me the Seahawks. Like, you, people could sit here and bump their gums about how good Aaron Rodgers looked and everything. Okay, that's fine. They did. They look good. Both teams look good against the other team's defense, so I don't know what to tell you there. But Seattle's defense is damn sure going to be ready for his old ass, and I think Seattle wins this game.
Yeah, I'm going Seattle in this, too. I don't think it's, you know, it's, I think they win this and show you they're not as bad as you thought they were. Ed.
I'm going with Pittsburgh at home. I just think they still have a good defense. The Jets put up a lot of points on them, but I still think they're good. They're at home. I'm just going with Pittsburgh. Not that I want to. I'd like them to lose a couple of games here.
Can I tell you how surprised? So, like, I'm one of those big believers in the teams that come from the West Coast and play a 1 o'clock game on the East Coast and all that stuff. I'm looking at everything, and I'm still going, I don't get it. The line is 3, and it's not budging, and everyone and their mother. I just checked. My mom bet on the Steelers, too. Everyone's betting on the Steelers.
Broncos at Colts. Ed.
I'm going Colts, actually. I think the Broncos are a real good team. They're going to challenge for the West. Well, they're supposed to, anyway. But I was kind of surprised and pleased to see the Colts win big. I think I'm going to go with Indianapolis at home.
I'm going Colts in this one as well. I think this will be a close game, one of the better games of the week probably, but I'm going Colts, Jeremy.
I can't believe we're running this across the board. We're all going Colts. Another great spot. It's the Broncos' first road game. They didn't look particularly good against the Titans, and I think the Colts present some other problems for them. I like the Colts to win.
Jeremy, Panthers, Cardinals.
Give me the Cardinals. I still think the Panthers are better than they showed in week one. Cardinals home opener, I'll take them.
I'm going Cardinals as well, home opener. I think the Panthers are going to be a better football team, but I think the Cardinals right now are better. And at home, yeah, I'm going with them. Ed.
I'm going Cardinals as well. I think they're a better team. I just think they're a better team, frankly. That's about all I can say, and they're at home.
Eagles, Chiefs, Ed.
Oh, I'm going Eagles. I think the Eagles are much better than the Chiefs. I think that, you know, the Chiefs lost to the Chargers, whether they're a good team now. But I think from what I saw, knowing what the Eagles have, the Eagles win this one on the road.
Home opener, everybody's watching. Every time you put the Chiefs down and doubt them, they win, including on Sunday. I think they beat the Eagles.
You mean to tell me that I can get 1.5 points with the Chiefs at home and people are all over the Eagles because they beat them in the Super Bowl last year? As I've said numerous times, there's so much to love about the Chiefs in this spot. You give Andy Reid a little extra time, a lot of time, and he will embarrass you. And when you come back and look at the revenge narrative, all the other things that are going on, people are saying the Chiefs are done after the loss to the Chargers in Brazil. I think the Chiefs come out and make a statement. I think they win big.
All right, final game for Sunday, primetime, Falcons at Vikings, Jeremy.
I'm going to take Minnesota, but again, this feels like it could go either way. I'll go with the home team that needs the win.
I'm going with the road team. I'm going with the Falcons. I think the Falcons are going to be a real, real good football team, not conference contender, but a good football team, and they make a statement win on Sunday night. Ed.
I'm going with the Falcons as well. I think they may not be a conference contender, but I think they're a division contender. I mean, they lost to the Buccaneers, and that sort of puts them in a bad spot in that division. I think the Bucs take it again, but Atlanta's better than they've been.
All right, Ed, before we get out, because we'll pick Monday games on Monday morning quarterback, give me a Ravens score.
Oh, I think it's a big one. I think the Ravens win 31-13.
Oh, I got the Ravens winning as well, scoring 31, but 31-19. Oh, Jeremy. Okay.
31-10.
So we all had 31 points.
I think I just Did I just Price is Right myself under, Ed? Should I have gone with 14? Or is it the closest without going over?
Closest without going over.
Damn it. I think, all right. Maybe I'm good.
We'll take a look at week three in college football at 8:15. But on the other side, the Baltimore Orioles broke news yesterday that Mike Elias was promoted. What does that mean for the future of the front office? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.